Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
Nowhere else has given me a platform to be able to talk about what I went through.
We can find humor in the kiss. You need to find that once in a while.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Sadly, we're still not together.
It's awful.
It's awful. I don't like it. Not only do I miss being on the floor of your son's closet with you, but I'm like kind of feeling withdrawals because I haven't been able to go to my favorite discount store.
That's right. That's by my house. And here's the thing. I don't think you should be sad that you're missing my son's closet because I'm literally sitting here next to hockey bags and it smells like dirty feet and I can't avoid it. And I'm stuck in here recording for our listeners. So I'm taking one for the team today and I don't know where this smell is coming from, but I'm dying in here.
This week I had to wash both of the boys' backpacks because I think that they threw something in there, maybe like wet snow boots or something. I don't know. And it was like mildewy and gross. And so I'm like, oh, so this, God, smells, moms and smells. Why?
But okay, it is
we're not together.
We're not together. We're recording this on a Friday. So we do deserve a cocktail. Cheers from far away.
Cheers. Oh, wait. Whoop. We had a shaking of the ice moment. Remember, we had people, Morgan, as it was brought to our attention, that some people do not enjoy the shaking of the ice. Okay. Apparently, there's something out there with this whole ASMR thing where some people love the sounds and the sensations of tap, 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 or what's this?
Right? I don't even know what ASMR.
Oh, you don't know ASMR? Oh no. My God, Morgan, it is crazy. So ASMR is this like weird shit where it's like people do things. I'm trying to think of what I have on my desk, like little sounds. Like right now I'm rubbing two pencils together and people find the sound very soothing. And now I'm tapping them. So Morgan, if you go on like TikTok or whatever, people think that they're like therapists now, but they're just regular Joe Schmoes who stand there like tip tapping stuff, right?
Is there any therapy for bad sock smell in a closet?
We can Google, but here's the thing. The shaking of the ice, apparently, that we've been doing is like an ASMR thing. And some people love it and it's a trigger for other people.
Okay, well, we're moving on then.
So now we need to like, I guess, have a disclaimer.
If we hurt your feelings with the ice shake, we are so, so sorry.
We are so sorry.
But we finally, so both of us recorded a different episode tonight and we didn't have a cocktail. And then we decided we better run and get one because it's Friday and we've made it through the week. So I ran downstairs after being in the stinky closet to get a drink. And my son was down there and I said, he's like, what are you doing? And I said, I'm recording a podcast. And he goes, boring. So I know, I know. So I poured my drink as fast as possible and I poured a vodka with some kind of weird soda. And I ran up here and I took a sip and I almost died. I think I just got like completely sidetracked. It's probably half vodka. It is awful, but I'm going to make it through.
This is almost as bad as my spoiled deli turkey from last week.
That's right. And
what a survivor. Okay. Meanwhile, I am drinking, I think it's a cab. I opened a bottle from my wine shipment and it hasn't breathed long enough. So it's also not amazing, but I'm going to force myself to drink it because it's been a week.
Right. Okay. But before we do the hots and nots, let's talk about who we are talking with today on our episode. I'm actually really excited about this episode.
Give it to us. Why are you so excited, Morgan?
Okay. So we're talking to a woman that I'd never met before, never spoken to before, but really wanted to come on our podcast to talk about her divorce experience. And I think it's so brave when people want to talk about that. And that's why I reached out to Andrea to begin with. And she's going to come on and give us a different perspective of what happened to her.
You know, there is something really cool about that. There is something really cool. And I love that we're doing this. I love that we're breaking up our guests and kind of bebopping between the experts and the real life stories, because I think we can learn just as much from someone who really walked the walk. So good on us, man. We're really killing it.
I agree.
DW, did we mention last episode that we've surpassed 10,000 downloads? What? Really, we're really going places. Okay. Let's move into our rom-com and horror film moment of the week.
The rom-com and the horror movie.
You ready to do this, my dear?
I was born ready, so yes is the answer.
Okay.
It's your turn to start first for once.
All righty. My turn. So my rom-com moment, it actually happened earlier today. This is weird. I shared this with you earlier. I laughed so hard earlier today at this ridiculous reel that somebody made on Instagram, which was footage from, oh my God, you guys. Okay. First of all, we've got to post a link to this in the show notes because this is the best thing that I've ever seen. This is old. This is footage from 2020. And it's somebody recorded a Zoom court session of, I don't know where it took place, maybe somewhere in the South, but basically on the screen, you see the judge. They're all on Zoom, right? So you see the judge, you see one attorney, and the attorney in the bottom box of Zoom couldn't get a filter off of his Zoom screen and it made him look like he was a cat. And he's trying to go about like everything's normal, but it wasn't normal. And he's talking and he says, he's like, all right, well, Your Honor, I'm ready to proceed. And the judge is like, I think his name is Mr. Pontoon or something. He's like, I believe you have a filter on your screen.
So the funniest thing, that is an old Zoom and I loved it just as much when I saw it 2 years ago, but I will say that poor guy is a real lawyer and that was real. So I did my research and, you know, the poor guy had his Zoom malfunction to the max.
The best part of the whole thing is at the very end when the lawyer is trying to like save face and he says, I assure you, I'm coming here to you live. I'm not a cat. I'm not a cat. I'm not a cat. Ooh, I don't know, Morgan, have you ever had those moments where maybe something isn't, I mean, this is that funny, but, or maybe something isn't even that funny, but you needed to laugh so hard that your body, like, Like, Morgan, I must have needed that release because I think that I laughed for maybe 3 solid minutes to the point where I couldn't catch my breath. And it was such a good feeling.
You know what? It just like releases everything. You're just in a better place after that, right?
Yes. And you talk about this with your clients on how like you've got to find ways.
Yes. To,
yeah.
I mean, my best clients, and I think the cases that go the smoothest, we can find humor in the case. It may not be at their expense or their spouse's expense, because I don't think that's right. But we find humor outside or something, you know, joking back and forth. You need to find that once in a while.
I mean, yeah, sometimes it is kind of, I mean, I don't know. You're a big fan of taking the high road and not making it at your ex's expense. You know, people, you guys don't come to me for that. So, I think it's totally fine. And moving on, I'm going to make this thing full circle right now. So my horror film moment of the week had to do with my ex and my kids. And I had a really, really freaking hard transition day yesterday. And I've talked about this a bunch of times, some on the podcast, but a lot on my Instagram platform about how it's really hard for my family. And the reasons why I'll get into another time, but it was hard and it just sucked. But relating it all back to ways that we can find humor, even in the stuff that's not funny. So we have a new therapist for my older son, and we're talking about, you know, ways that we can strategize helping him through this process, because it's been very, very difficult for him. And we had a Zoom session with my therapist several weeks ago, my ex-husband and I. And I was, the therapist was Zooming from her office. I was Zooming from my kitchen, and my ex-husband was Zooming from what looked like to be the International Space Station, because he used a filter on the back of his Zoom that was outer space.
I don't even know what to say about that.
Oh, you know, we all have moments of levity, and I just encourage all of you to find them and laugh, because you know, when things are horrible, you're going to find a chuckle. Morgan, give me your rom-com moment.
Okay. I'm going to give you my rom-com, my horror film this week. So my rom-com was last night. I talk about my partners and where I work, and not every divorce lawyer likes where they work, and they don't always like their partners or the people that work for them. And I genuinely like who I work with. And I'm so blessed every day to go to work and have a great team around me. And so last night I got to take out one of the partners that works for me. And we had such a nice night just having dinner, not only talking about our cases, but also talking about her family and her children and her husband and everything that matters to her in life. And it just felt so good, because I really genuinely think that if you care about others and people that work for you, that it will only translate to our clients. So that was my rom-com. My horror film is kind of horror, but kind of not, because any parent who's listening to this knows exactly what I'm talking about. So I lately don't sleep at night, and I don't know what it is, but there's something with one of my children that's up every few hours. And I don't, you know, I know it's always, they always call for one parent, and this child always wants to call for me. And it's never my husband, ever. And not that my husband's not amazing, but he is. But the bottom line is, it's me. And so I am on every few hours. And I usually try to just let him just cry it out or call my name 1,000 times. But then when I go in there, it's something so ridiculous that he says that I literally just kind of melt and just, I'm like, okay, fine. But bottom line is, every morning I'm like, gosh, I feel like I got run over by a truck. So that was my horror. Hopefully I'll get some sleep this weekend and I'll be refreshed by Monday.
Oh, Morgan, I know. Kids.
And parent life is no joke.
Kids, man. Well, actually, kids plays a big part in our guest's story, because she actually gets into a little bit of why she stayed in her marriage for 6 additional years.
After she knew it was over.
Yeah, because of the kids, which is something that we talk about all the time. So why don't we go see if we can track her down? I know that she's driving right now from somewhere in California to another place in California. So let's go see if we can pull her and get this story out.
All right.
Today is really exciting because for the very first time, we're talking to somebody who is open to sharing their divorce story with us, which is something that we have been wanting to be able to share with you guys for a really long time.
There's such value in hearing real life stories. And we were worried that maybe other people didn't want to be as open as Andrea. But the more that we've done this podcast, the more people are coming forward to want to tell their real life stories. And as a divorce lawyer, I get to hear these stories in my office. But I will tell you, this next person's story, I have not heard yet. So I'm coming at it with the lens of being a divorce lawyer, hearing it for the first time. And I can't tell you how excited I am to be able to share this experience with you.
This is going to be so cool. Okay. So we are going to be talking with a woman named Zoe. And yesterday I had the opportunity to chat with Zoe on the phone about her experience. And there's so much that I found to be so relatable. So we're ready to hear it. We have got Zoe with us via Zoom. She's driving back from a little getaway that she had yesterday in Santa Barbara. And by the way, Zoe, Morgan and I are not at all envious of you. We are thrilled to be here in Chicago in this gross winter weather. And we are sure that you are suffering over there in sunny California.
Yes, it's a, you know, freezing 71 degrees here.
Bye.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share. I really appreciate it. It's, you know, besides sharing it really in therapy, nowhere else has given me a platform to be able to talk about what I went through. So should I just go for it?
Well, let me tell you this, you know, and we would love having you on, and we're so thrilled that you came on and that you're brave enough to come on. But I would ask you something, which I ask in most client meetings, usually the third segment of my meeting. I say, what brought you here today? And what I mean for you is, what brought you to your lawyer's office? What started the breakdown of your marriage in your mind?
Okay, well, I think that there was, you know, a long, about 6-year period of deterioration that occurred. And the first, you know, major thing that happened that really kind of started me, you know, opening my eyes to what was going on was I had 3 babies. My oldest had just turned 3. I had an 18-month-old and a 1-week-old. And my ex-husband's friend was over for dinner and they were drinking a lot. And it was like 11:30 at night on a Monday. And they said, you know what, we're going to go downtown. And I said, please don't leave me home alone with 3 tiny humans to fend by myself while you go out and get wasted. And this is not like, it was like a normal thing for him to want to go out. It wasn't like he never got to go out of the house. You know what I mean? And he said, I mean, we ended up fighting about it for a while. And then he eventually just said, look, I'm going to go. And I know it's going to hurt our marriage. And I'm going to go anyway. And then that night he lost his wallet and his wedding ring and he crashed his bicycle, which they rode their bikes downtown. We live in a small town, but it was like, they were like, we're not driving, we're being responsible. And I was like, this is still not responsible. An adult shouldn't be behaving like that, you know? And so it was, you know, that was like the first real major, like Andrea says, when you know, you can't unknow, right?
I can't believe you had a 1-week-old and that happened.
I think he was just stressed out about the finances of it. And, you know, and that of course was my excuse that I gave to myself that let it, you know, I stayed married for another 6 years after that. And it was just more and more issues like that, that really, you know, they kept cropping up. And then there was a ton of other stuff too, control stuff. You know, I wasn't allowed to have girls' nights. I had never had a girls' weekend until when we were kind of actively splitting up. I finally went on a girls' bachelorette weekend and my sister was going with me. It was a friend from high school and he didn't want me to go. And he referred to watching the kids for the weekend as babysitting. And I was like, it's not babysitting when they're
These are your children.
Well, let me hope that you went out and crashed your bike on your girls' weekend and you showed him who's boss.
Lost your wallet.
No.
So, Zoe, my question before we go into your divorce is something that I think a lot of listeners are wondering because they may be in the same spot. What kept you after this break that you basically, you know, it's the gut, it's the woman or man's gut that just says, this isn't going to work out. What kept you there for 6 years?
Well, I have to say probably the children were the most important thing. You know, I didn't want them to grow up in a divorced household like I did. And their dad's a good dad, you know. And then financially, that was a really scary thing for me. I was a stay-at-home mom for a while, and then I started doing real estate, but it was pretty part-time at that point. And so, and of course, it's a very non-reliable source of income. So, you know, you never know if you're going to go 6 months without selling a house and have absolutely nothing to live on, right? We were married in the church, and we were pretty, you know, church-going, faithful family, raising the kids to learn everything about the Bible. And he is like really hardcore evangelical. And so it was just like something that our group of friends would never countenance. And one of the guys had gotten divorced and they had totally shunned his wife. And, you know, so it was like, you know, it was just really tough to think about leaving this whole community. And
there was probably a lot of fear there, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? They totally shunned me when I left him. I am not part of that community at all. And only one of the other moms in our group of friends even reached out to me after the divorce, and nobody else did. And nobody has talked to me since at all.
So the let me ask you,
do you regret your decision leaving?
No, because absolutely not. Mm-hmm. No. And my cousin, who's a therapist, told me, she said, if they don't understand, they know him, you know, and they know what he did and they know how it was. And she said, if they're not going to be your friend after the fact, they're not really your friend in the first place.
Agreed.
Yeah.
It was really brave of you. I know that religion plays in a lot, as well as cultural differences and cultural backgrounds. So thank you for actually starting to touch on this, because we haven't gotten there yet in our podcast.
No. And I do think that there are so many people who are struggling with that inner, you know, that turmoil of like, is this okay? Like, is this something, will I be shunned? And is this acceptable for me and my community? I want to know, what did the actual divorce look like? Like, where did you struggle? What did you struggle with?
Well, the hardest thing for me was that I should have filed earlier. And in fact, he ended up filing. And the reason was because I get so overwhelmed and anxious about all of this paperwork and going to court and all of these things. And I think it's something to do with me maybe having undiagnosed ADD. But, you know, I just get this like anxiety paralysis when it comes to doing paperwork. And I was just totally freaked out about the prospect of it.
So Zoe, legally, you are not alone. And I'm going to tell you about some ways or ideas that divorce lawyers can help people like you out, because I assume that that paralysis that you talk about was almost debilitating when it came to paperwork. Do you feel like that?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right. So a few things that I talk about with my clients, when I know that paperwork is something that just kind of sets somebody off, I have them come into the office, because it's much better to walk step by step through the documents or what we need. And we watch you, we watch the client. We know whether the client's having major anxiety over it. There's some other ideas that we can do to help you out. So for instance, if you just cannot physically pull the documents we need off of the internet from your bank, ideas for what we could do is we could say, what banks do you bank at? We'll send subpoenas on your behalf. So therefore we have all the information coming in directly from the bank. You don't have to go print out every document. And yes, everybody, there is a small fee for preparation and to send the subpoena. But sometimes people say it's so worth it because now I don't stress and sit there and be anxious the entire time. So there are ways that we can help you. But I think the big thing that we want to stress is we're so happy that you're being forthright. And if you are forthright with your lawyer about how anxious you're feeling over these things, your lawyer can help you.
Right. It was really tough going through this during COVID because I couldn't go into my attorney's office, unfortunately. Luckily, we're at a better spot now. So hopefully people can start seeing each other face to face more often these days.
Right. Exactly. Even Zoom, if you had to.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm a fellow COVID divorcee. So it was a rocky road. What I thought was really cool when we talked yesterday, you were telling me about when you and your now ex-husband were separated, just a little bit about how he, like you had mentioned before, that beer was the drinking issue, but then he had stopped and that he like got into like really good shape and that he on the surface looked amazing, but yes. How when you like saw him, it was like there was no attraction there. There was just like, there was nothing that made you think, did I make the right choice? And I just found that so cool because I think there's so many people who, you know, would go through that and they'd be like, oh my God, but he looks so good. And like, look, he put down the booze. Maybe he's a new man. And I think that it's cool that you stuck to your guns and you knew that it still wasn't going to be the right thing for you. And I just want to check in, like, you still stand by that choice? Like, I know, like, I mean, I think I have an idea
of
talking to you. Yeah.
So he's doing all these great things and looking great and everything. And I realized, you know, he's not doing this for himself. He's doing this to try to win me back. And how long can any of those changes work? Right. You know, and of course, as soon as we actually file for divorce, he drops out of AA, the drinking starts again, the weight gain comes back. I mean, it just like, I knew that that's what was going to happen anyway. And I was luckily able to see it before I went back, you know, and was fooled by this very superficial kind of life change that he was claiming to make, right?
That's so interesting because it's a telltale sign that you made the right choice. And a lot of people kind of fall into a bad pattern, which is, you know, after a little bit of time, you're away from your spouse, they look good, they look like they're getting it together. It's easy just to go back to where you were. And it's really mm-hmm. admirable that you were able to see through all of that and say, you know what, no, this is something that we cannot do again. We're better apart. And right. I really appreciate you sharing that story because, you know, the divorce bot is real. It's a real thing.
For sure.
Thank you again, Zoe, for joining. Even just your story has probably helped so many other people. I mean, you hit on something we've never hit on yet, which is the religious component to a divorce and that you lost friends, but it was still the right decision. And I think it's so important that our listeners hear that you will be okay.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Way better off.
On that note, Zoe, I'm going to ask you a question. If you Sure. could give people one piece of advice to somebody who's currently going through a divorce, what would you tell them?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Probably, you know, to rely on your girlfriends as much as you can and your family. That was the hugest thing for me. My family was very supportive and they really, really helped me out. And then also therapy. Therapy yes. is something you just have to do it. It's so important. And I've been going regularly since before we split up, actually. And it's been so incredibly helpful.
You know what?
And therapy. That's exactly Girls, why. Get your therapy.
Yes, get your therapy. And that's exactly why Morgan and I are here, because we are another channel of support, because you cannot do it alone. You cannot get divorced all by your lonesome without any form of support and guidance. So thank you so much, Zoe, for talking to us today, for pulling off the side of the road so that you can finish recording with us. We yeah. are so appreciative. We're just so grateful. And thank you for mentioning what you just said about the need for support from friends and family and your therapist and your community, because truly we are so honored to be a part of everybody's community. Zoe, it was a pleasure.
Thank you, Zoe.
Oh, my pleasure, you guys. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate
it. Anytime. Okay, everybody, one of your favorite segments. It is up. It's called Decline to Comment, where we rapidly fire 5 questions at one another. And if things get awkward or you cannot answer for legal reasons, you say
Decline to Comment.
So, Andrea, you're up first, and I am shooting questions at you. So, do you hang the toilet paper over or under?
We already did this question. I'm an over person.
Oh, okay. What's your Wi-Fi password?
Oh, my wife. Decline to comment because it's my password for everything, which I know you're not supposed to do, but I will get hacked. I will be someone who gets hacked.
Totally. Why do pizzas come that are round, come in square boxes?
I don't know, but I will tell you, side note, that my pet peeve is when here in Chicago, how they cut pizzas into squares because they should be triangular slices.
Mm. Do you, with that exact question, do you eat pineapple on your pizza?
That's disgusting, Morgan. Hard no.
What would you do if you could live forever?
What would I do if I could live forever? I get a good long-term care policy. Actually, funny story. I was talking yesterday with Jesse Hearn, the photographer that, you know, I work with. And we were joking around that when I'm older, I'm going to be the woman in the nursing home who's entertaining everybody in the lounge, like standing there, like singing like popular pop songs, like we were doing, I was imitating Sarah Bareilles, like, I'm not going to write you a love song. And people are going to be like, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. So anyway, that's what I'm going to do. Sing.
You forever. Sound like maybe you're going to be in a New York, like old person's home.
But that's me. I mean, like, look, please. I'm the granddaughter of a woman named Rhoda Rappaport. What do you think my destiny is? Come on.
That's right. All right. Final question. If you were to fail a driver's test, what part would you fail?
Oh, well, it would have been parallel parking back in the day prior to me living in Chicago.
Okay. My turn. Go for it.
Okay, babe. How do you eat your steak?
Ooh, I would say medium.
Okay. What was your first concert?
Oh my gosh, I'm so old. I feel like I can't even remember that, but I will tell you my favorite concert is Pink.
Britney or Christina?
Britney all day.
Yeah, me too. Do you believe in ghosts?
I do.
And what's your go-to color for nail polish?
White.
Ladies and gentlemen, that has been another fascinating
round. Not white, white. I'm talking like a muted white.
A muted. Like a creamy white.
Yes. I do not have ghost nails whatsoever.
Thank God, man. Thank God you elaborated on that, Morgan. It really would have.
I couldn't let that go. I couldn't.
Yeah. Guys, it's been another thrilling round of Decline to Comment. So guys, thank you so much for being here and listening to this show. We're glad that today we were able to offer you someone's real story and her, you know, real experiences, because that's a part of all of this. And if there's something that you want to hear more of, let us know. Give us some feedback. You know how to find us. We're on Instagram. You can find me over at the Andrea Rappaport. Morgan, give them your handle, babe.
You can find me at Divorce Attorney Chicago. And everybody, we know that divorce is hard. We know it's draining. And we know that the unknown can feel scary. Take it from Zoe, though. She survived it. And it took a little bit of time to get there. But her story is one that makes you feel okay about this process. So just remember that when you're thinking about maybe even embarking on the process, or you're in the middle of it.
You can do it. It's not going to be easy. We know that. But this is one of the many reasons why we have this show, because we are part of your community. We are here to support you. Go to our website. It is brand new. It is www.hownottosuckatdivorce.com. You will find more ways to get in touch with us, read about our stories, how we got to where we are right now. And guys, reach out. Honestly, like we want to help you in any and every way that we can.
That's right. And ultimately, we want to help you not suck at divorce. Tell your friends, tell your book club, even tell your ex. We don't care. Just tell them about our podcast, because anyone that we can help is somebody that we feel that we actually, this podcast did what it was supposed to do. And when you're in the thick of it, it's day by day. Sometimes, like Andrea always says, it's hour by hour. You've got this and we've got you.
And we're here. We will always be here to help you not suck at divorce.